Now we're in the month of February. The Pagan Festival of Imbolc just occurred, which nowadays, of course, is called Groundhog Day, has passed us. And the next thing coming up here is St. Valentine's Day in about 9 days. It's interesting, the very day after Christmas, the stores packed up all their Christmas gifts and candies and everything else, and they put them in a special area to discount them at 50%. And then they filled the shelves immediately with Valentine gifts. I couldn't imagine getting a box that was bought in December and like 2 months later. I don't know, I guess it's got plenty of preservatives in it, so I guess it's not a big deal. But you got the heart-shaped chocolate boxes and candies and, of course, the Valentine's cards that they're trying to sell for it. So where did this holiday come from, and what purpose does it serve? Let's find out how this day came to be celebrated and look into its origins. Let's answer the question, is this something that Christians should observe? That's what we really need to focus on. So who is St. Valentine? Well, according to history.com, the Catholic Church recognizes at least three different saints named Valentine or Valentinus, all whom were martyred. One legend contends that Valentine was a priest who served in the 3rd century in Rome, and when Emperor Claudius Gothicus, he was better known as Claudius II, decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families, he outlawed marriage for young men. And so Valentine, realizing the injustice of the decree, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for young couples. In secret, of course. When Valentine's actions were discovered, Claudius II ordered that he be put to death. Still others insist that it was St. Valentine of Terni, a bishop, who was the true namesake of the holiday. He too was beheaded by Claudius II outside of Rome. Now, one common story about St. Valentine is that one point in his life, this former bishop of Terni and also of Narnia and Aemilia, he was under house arrest with Judge Asterius, again, you know, for marrying young couples against the emperor's wishes. While discussing religion and faith with the judge, Valentine pledged to fidelity of Jesus. The judge immediately put Valentine to the test, to test his faith. St. Valentine was presented with the judge's blind daughter and told to restore, he was told to restore her eyesight if he really had this much faith. Well, the story goes that he succeeded, and the judge vowed to do anything for Valentine, placing his hands, onto her eyes. Valentine actually restored this child's vision, as the story goes. Now, St. Valentine, of course, he refused to renounce his faith and Christianity, and he was executed outside the Flaminian Gate on February 14th, 269 AD. Now, most agree on this date of his death, which was February 14th. Of course, he's the story of the two different ones. It seems like it could be the same one. There's many different people. There's another variation of this legend of St. Valentine says that he refused to sacrifice to pagan gods and was imprisoned And while he was in prison, he healed the jailer's blind daughter. Here the blind daughter comes in again as in the story. On the day of his execution, he left the girl a note signed, "Your Valentine," is one of the legends. Other stories suggest that Valentine may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisons, where they were often beaten and tortured. According to one legend, an imprisoned Valentine actually sent the first Valentine, greeting himself after he fell in love with a young girl, again possibly this jailer's daughter, who visited him during his confinement. Before his death, the alleged is that he wrote her a letter signed, "From Your Valentine," the expression that is still used today. Although the truth behind Valentine legends is murky, all the stories emphasize his appeal as a sympathetic, heroic, and most importantly, a romantic figure. By the Middle Ages, perhaps, thanks to his reputation, Valentine would become one of the most popular saints in England and France. There's a lot of evidence that that there was some priest whose name was Valentine. They found, you know, different remnants and in archaeology, they actually discovered a church dedicated to him as well. But how did this become part of the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church and other churches in the world? Well, some believe that St. Valentine's Day was celebrated in the middle of February to commemorate the anniversary of Valentine's death and burial, of course, which was February 14th in 269. While others claim that the church may have decided to place St. Valentine's feast day in the middle of February in an effort to Christianize the pagan celebration of Lupercalia. Like, you know, much like Christmas, Easter, and other Christian holidays, Valentine's Day began to be celebrated in February as a way to draw attention away from the pagan festivals that were carried on around that same time. History proves that St. Valentine's Day originated from two obscene Roman festivals of fertility called Lupercalia and the Feast of Juno Februata, both that were celebrated in the middle of February. Now, from February 13th to the 15th, the conclusion of these things happening on the 15th, the Romans celebrated the Feast of Lupercalia. Now, Lupercalia was a fertility festival dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture. It bore the name Lupercalia because another name for the Roman divinity was Lupercus, who was worshipped by the shepherds as a protector of their flocks against wolves. And at the same time, they promoted the fertility among sheep. The Romans sometimes identified Lupercus with the Arcadian Pan, the Greek version. Now this god, he had the head and torso of a man, but the hindquarters and the horns of a goat. On the north side of Palatin Hill in Rome, there was in ancient times, there was a cave there, the sanctuary of Lupercus, surrounded by a grove containing an altar of the god and his figure clad in a goat skin, just as his priest wore a similar outfit. They were called Luperci. The celebrations are centered on Palatine Hill, where the twins Romulus and Remus, the legendary founders of Rome, were said to have originally settled. During the festival, the Roman priest visited the cave where Romulus and Remus were said to have been raised by a she-wolf and sacrificed a goat for fertility, and a dog for purification. That is according to Encyclopedia Britannica. Now they would cut the hide of the goat into strips and then dip the goat skin strips, also known as februa, into blood, into the blood of the sacrifice. And then they went around smacking the women in town and also the crop fields with it to encourage fertility in the new year. Young women actually line up and, you know, hoping to get, you know, whacked by these leather strips because they wanted to, they thought that this was going to make them fertile. Now, there was also another pagan festival that took place during the same time. It was called the Feast of Juno Februata, the Roman goddess of love, marriage, and women. In celebrating this goddess, whose day fell within the Feast of Lupercus on the day of February 14th, a box was provided in which single men can draw a piece of paper that was inscribed with a woman's name on it. And the couple was then formed, you know, from this little thing, and they participated in erotic games that followed and would remain partners for the subsequent 12 months, for a whole year. And sometimes they would actually end up in a marriage. Now, February was the month that was sacred to Juno Februata, the goddess of Februus, which means fever of love. February takes its name from the Latin februa, meaning religious purification. So it kind of means that this is the month of purification, or the cleansing month, referring to the numerous festivals that of that theme that were held, especially the Lupercalia. Now, the Greek philosopher and historian Plutarch, who lived in the 1st and 2nd centuries CE, or AD, when Lupercalia was in full swing, he said that because Lupercalia was so heavily involved with purification, the day was called Februata, or Dies Februata, the day of purification, is what that means. Since there were two celebrations that were going on at the same time, Plutarch probably thought they were the same festival, but they were actually two different festivals. There were many different festivals and many different gods that the Romans celebrated, like the Roman god by the name of Februus, which was a deity that was actually dedicated to purification, who seems to have been the male version of the goddess Februata. Now, he was also considered one of the patron gods of the month of February. He may have actually personified February's cleansing festivals. Now, because of association with Parentalia, which means ancestral days, it was a 9-day festival that was held in the honor of family ancestors, and it actually began on February 13th. And another holiday that they celebrated was Feralia, which actually started on the 21st of February. It was a more of a festival of the dead. So Februus was actually considered a god of the dead, even being equated to the god of the underworld, Dies, or Pluto was the Roman name, or the Greek god Hades. Now, another god associated with associated to love and therefore Valentine's Day is Cupid, which is often portrayed on Valentine's Day cards as a naked baby cherub launching arrows of love into unsuspecting lovers. But the Roman god Cupid has its roots in Greek mythology as the Greek god of love, Eros. Accounts of his birth vary, and some say he was a son of Aphrodite and Ares, Some say that he's got other different parents. Who knows? It's all mythology. But according to the Greek poets, Eros was a handsome immortal who played with the emotions of gods and men. And using his golden arrows, he would incite love. And he also had some leaden arrows that he would sow aversion. It wasn't until the Hellenistic period that he began to be portrayed as the mischievous little chubby child that he has become on Valentine's cards today. Now, Lupercus was a hunter of wolves. The Latin lupus is wolf, and it's associated with the Roman god Faunus, the god of agriculture and fertility. Now, since Rome stole all of its gods from the people that they conquered, we can trace this Faunus and Lupercus to the Greek equivalent of Pan. Pan was the god of woods, field, and flocks. Now, the ancients pictured both these mythological beings as having a human torso, but the legs and horns and ears of a goat, sometimes even the head of a goat. It fits very nicely with the fact that they sacrificed goats and used the thongs from their skin to whip the women during this feast. The Bible often compares God's people to sheep, while frequently linking Satan with goats. Now, Pan can be traced to the Phoenician sun god Baal, also a god of fertility and nature. Now, as we saw during my series on Mystery Babylon the Great, there's a strong case that Baal is none other than Bel Marduk of Babylon, otherwise known as Nimrod. In Genesis chapter 10 and verse 9, Moses describes Nimrod as a mighty hunter. In the days after the flood, of course, we know animals multiplied rapidly and caused fear among the people. Nimrod grew powerful because of his ability to fight off these wild animals. Tradition says that he actually roamed as far as Italy to hunt wolves. That's one of the mythological stories about Nimrod. Now, Valentine comes into play here as well. The word derived from the Latin valens, Valentine comes from the word valens, it means strong, powerful, mighty. Our word valiant, which means, you know, courageous or heroic, also comes from this root. Now, these descriptions seem very much like Nimrod, descriptions of Nimrod. In a sense, Nimrod was the people of Babylon's Valentine. Now, the Greek word for wolf is leucos, and of course the Latin name for the gray wolf is Canis lupus, hence the term Lupercal, Lupercus, this god, and Lupercalia, the festival. Now, some traditions say that Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome, actually instituted the feast of Lupercalia. The false gods didn't go very far from the tree, as you can see. They originated in Babylon, and they spread through the whole world. Now, I think we've kind of found where the root origin of this festival really, really stems from. So how was this day adopted into Christianity, this feast for Saint Valentine? Well, the Roman Emperor Constantine I accepted Christianity, but pagan festivities and festivals continued in his empire, and pagan customs were soon integrated into Christianity. It took a while longer for them to get a hold of St. Valentine's Day, since it was Lupercus and all these other festivals were going on because it was so popular at the time. So in AD 494, Pope Gilius the first decided to suppress this perverted pagan festivals. He replaced Lupercalia with the Feast of Purification of the Virgin Mary and moved it to February 2nd. They also call it Candlemas. And of course, we celebrate Groundhog's Day, and it's in block with the Wiccans. So they got rid of Lupercalia and threw it up there in February 2nd with Groundhog Day. They also replaced the Feast of Juno Februata with St. Valentine's Day on the 14th of February. Now, the way they celebrated that before, of course, was men would draw a, you know, a piece of paper with a girl's name on it, and they became a couple for that year, right? So now they wanted to Christianize this, make this nice. So what they did is they had a lottery of girls' names was placed by lottery with the names of Christian saints whose lives and characters the youth were supposed to copy that day. So they would draw a piece of paper and it had a saint's name on it, and they were supposed to emulate that saint for that day. Now, different stories were, of course, were created by the Roman Catholic Church to attribute the festival to one Saint Valentine, whose origins, of course, are obscure. It was clearly an attempt by the Roman Catholic Church to whitewash the pagan celebrations with the label of Christianity. The pagan Roman youth, they weren't very pleased with this Christianization of their holiday that they used to celebrate. They were not satisfied with the lottery drawing of saints' name and instead instituted a system of sending handwritten greetings with affection to girls they admired and wished to court. And this continued. During the medieval age, the names of English maidens and bachelors were put into a box and drawn out in pairs. Each couple exchanged gifts, and the girl became the man's sweetheart for a year. Now, he wore her name on his sleeve and was duty-bound to protect her. Now, from this name on his sleeve, from this custom comes the phrase, to wear one's heart on one's sleeve. This is where this actually comes from. To wear one's heart on the sleeve. Now, in 1536, King Henry VIII, the great womanizer himself, had many wives. He declared that all England would celebrate February 14th as St. Valentine's Day. By the 19th century, Valentine's Day cards were painted with pictures of Cupid and hearts and decorated with lace, silk, or flowers. It became very fashionable. In due course, Valentine's Day became the day for exchanging love messages and gifts, such as flowers, boxes of chocolate, candy. St. Valentine's Day became the acceptable patron saint of lovers. Valentine's Day uses actually some of Lupercalia's symbols, intentionally or not, such as the color red, which represented the blood sacrifice that they would make, and also the color white, which actually signified the milk that they used to wipe the blood clean and represented new life and procreation. Now, the most obvious answer to the question, should Christians be keeping this holiday? Well, what does the Bible tell us about heathen festivals, which this is? We are clearly warned not to learn the way of the heathen and their vain customs. In Jeremiah chapter 10, and I'm going to begin in verse 2. I'm going to be reading from the original King James Version. It says, thus says the Eternal, Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. These Roman customs are vile and rooted in fertility rites. I really don't even want to tell you what they actually did during these festivals. It's really not appropriate. God warned his people, Israel, not to defile themselves with customs of the Canaanites. Leviticus chapter 18 talks about God's laws for sexual morality and describes some of the evil, disgusting abominations that the Canaanites were doing. And he didn't want his people to be doing that or following them when they moved in there and conquered that land. It was because of these gross sexual perversions that the Canaanites were exterminated. That's why God wanted them dead. Now notice Christ's own words in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it. In Matthew chapter 15 verse 9, he said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." We are warned to come out of Babylon, to come out of this Babylonian system in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Valentine's Day caters to carnal desires, the works of the flesh, which are enumerated in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Read those verses. They clearly describe this Lupercalian revelry that they had and this debauchery of the festival that they celebrated. As Christians called out of this wicked world, we are not to celebrate this pagan festival. Even if it's called by a sanitized name of St. Valentine's Day. I'll try to clean it up really nice for you. Throughout the Bible, God describes heathens as those who worship things that he created, such as the animals, the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, whatever, or man-made idols, or anything but the one true God. He calls such people and their practices pagan. True Christians understand that God hates any customs, practices, or traditions that are rooted in paganism. However, many who claim to be Christian will say, "Oh, well, that was back then. That was back then. There's no harm in children participating in this. It's fun." Well, what about today? What about today? I mean, surely parents do not sacrifice their children to pagan gods like they did back then. They don't do that today, or do they? Do they? Children today have a lot going on. There's so much going on. Their only goal should be, as a young age, is to learn all they can. It's important to get a good education. But there's so many different distractions out there that affects their education. Valentine's Day attempts to rob them of their innocence. When you really look at it, young children should not be focused on romantic relationships at such a young age. That's reserved for mature adults according to God's plan, the way God has designed marriage. But now, grade school kids are being told that they need to discover their sexual identities. You know, when I was in grade school, I just wanted to play with my Hot Wheels, you know, or see how muddy I can get. That's all I really cared about back then. You know, there was a song from my youth that I really liked, and, you know, about a young boy going through the stages of life. It was called The Wheels of Confusion. It started with this young boy living in the land of fairy tales and stories. Lost in happiness, he knew no fears. Innocence and love was all he knew. It was an illusion. As he got older, happiness didn't come so easy. He discovered that life was more than just fairy tales and daydreams. He concluded that innocence was just another word. It was an illusion. Now he's a young man, lost in the wheels of confusion, running through the valleys of tears, eyes full of angry delusion, hiding everyday fears. He concludes that life is just a game and there's never been a winner. Try your hardest and you will still be a loser. The world will still be turning when you're gone. Yeah, when you're gone. St. Valentine's Day does more harm to a young child than it does good. Remember the ones in classroom that didn't get the Valentine's Day cards? Well, nowadays, these teenage boys, they grow up to shoot up their classrooms at school. Or they'll rape young women. Young girls have low esteem and are on depression medication. Suicide rates and drug overdoses are way too high. These young men will convince your daughters to have premarital sex with them and leave them pregnant. There's too much of this going on in the world. St. Valentine's Day promotes these lustful actions. Man's holidays, which are influenced by Satan, cause more harm than good. However, we have God's holy days. They are uplifting and pure. There's a real meaning and a real purpose for God's holy days. It's God's plan for the salvation of mankind. If we want to follow Christ, we choose life.